Hey, good morning, folks. Man, it's 2018. It's here. It is no longer upon us. It's here. And I can't tell you how excited I am about 2018. The other thing is, let me just be honest with you. Every time I have a water bottle up here, there's somebody in the audience that always counts how many drinks I take. Whether or not I'm going to drink. All right, there he is. He's confessing. He's being honest. So here, one drink. So he always makes fun of me after service, so I'm going to make fun of him before service or in service. Anyhow. Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited about this year and then this all that the Lord has in store for us, because I think that the 2018 is going to be a year unlike any other year. You know, I really believe that every year carries within in itself a prophetic promise of the Lord, but it's not necessarily automatic. You know, you have to, by faith, lay hold of that which he freely provides. Amen? And so, man, I look forward to this year. I'm so glad you decided to start your year here in the place of worship and in a way, giving the very first Sunday of the month to the Lord, I think is a great choice. Amen? And so I want to go ahead and jump into the word for this morning, because I really believe it's going to be pretty power-packed for us. And the title of today's message is this: The Mind of Christ. The Mind of Christ. When Jesus came, and I've said this many times, but I'm just going to keep saying it many times. But his first sermon, the first few words to rattle out of his mouth, as we see in Matthew's gospel definitely, was simply this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, meaning change the way you think, because his kingdom, the realm of his goodness, the atmosphere of his lordship is present, active, available, touchable. It was going to be at hand. And so Jesus is saying, change the way you think, because my kingdom is here. It's now. Yeah. See, here's the thing. At the time of Jesus, but actually before Jesus, his kingdom was distant. Yeah. It was unavailable. It was reserved for only a select few, that only a few people got to participate. Only a few people got to partake of God's kingdom. But Jesus shows up on the scene and he literally turns their whole world upside down. And everything that they had known, everything that they had experienced, was all of a sudden changing right in front of their eyes. How many of you can imagine that was probably a pretty difficult experience for them? I mean, that had to have been a huge challenge. I mean, how many of us don't like change? But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and he's changing everything. How many of you know that that must have been a huge challenge in their overall thought life and how they were to perceive God from that moment forward? You see, but for them to be able to apprehend and comprehend what Jesus was up to, they needed to change the way that they thought. Let's fast forward to us. The way that we think, the way that we see ourselves, the way that we see life, the way that we see God, the way that we see his kingdom, the way that we think is critical. Because the reality might be is that we might have some stinking thinking. And so the challenge for us is the same that it was for them all those years ago: to repent, change the way that I think, because his kingdom's here and it is available. And so let's start off with our key text, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. God, right now, I just ask, God, that you would take us on a journey with your word. Lord, that you would open us inside and out. Challenge our thinking, Father. Challenge our small thinking, Father. Lord, that today would, for many of us, would be the first day we begin to have a mindset like you, Jesus. Father, I pray, God, today, Lord, that in every way that in our thinking that is small, that is limited, that is connected to lack, God, I pray, Father, right now that you would just turn the tables on our mind today. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How many of you have ever wondered why you keep having the same struggle? Same financial problem, same argument. When she pushes this button, it always produces that response. Oh, I'm preaching now. No. Next question. Have you ever wondered why God's will, his will and purpose for your life seems to always be elusive and unclear? And you know, in all honesty, we would like to blame a lot of those things on our past. We would like to blame those things on our lack of education, our lack of opportunities, the way that we were raised. We like to put blame on things like that. And I'll be honest, to some extent, some of that is true. But that's not all the story. Some of it is a product of our thought life. Look, how many of you also know that with God, all things are possible? You see, I don't have to have the same argument. I don't have to have the same financial problem. I don't have to have the same reaction. I don't have to be a victim of my lack of education, my lack of opportunities, or my past. God's will does not have to remain elusive. That you can reconcile all of the past, that you can come to grips with that, and that you can begin to view life from a fresh perspective from the mind of Christ. You don't have to agree with limits anymore. See, limits only exist to be broken and grow our faith. Limits only exist in my bad thinking. Now, here's the deal. I understand there are some limits. Like, for instance, I will never be Michael Jordan. It's not going to happen. I do not have a 42-inch vertical. I have like a 4.2-inch vertical, you know. Me and gravity kind of have this thing going, you know, and it kind of. I realize those limits, but here's the deal. We tend to forecast our future in our mind under the delusion of the spirit of fear. We can more greatly imagine all of the things that can go wrong. We can more greatly imagine things blowing up in our face. More so than our imagination can run wild with what God can do in and through our lives. See, we tend to forecast a future in our life without God. And may today be the day when God starts to reverse that in your life. Begin to forecast our future as to what could be with him right at my side, with him flowing and moving in my life. Because the scripture says that he knows the plans that he has for me, plans to prosper me, not to harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future. Beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers. The prosperity of your life, Jesus is really intent on. That it would be well with your soul, that it would be well with your mind, that it would be well with your body. You see, what if we were to begin to look at our future with hope? See, hope is not just hoping everything's going to work out. Hope is not just having a good attitude, though a good attitude may help some of us. But hope is the confident expectation of God's goodness breaking through into your life. That's hope. What if you began just to live in that place of hope, of just confident that God's just going to break through for you? But it begins right here, which is our big idea this morning. Change the way you think. The kingdom is here, and all of its goodness and all of its glory, his kingdom is here and is available to you. Amen? So, let's really start to dig in here. Sin and obedience are both products of a way of thinking. Both of them are a product of a way of thinking. And so, let's just ask the question, so what's influencing our thinking? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says this: "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So sin, brokenness, blindness to God's will, limited thinking, all flow from strongholds, arguments with God, high things that exalt itself against the true knowledge of God. So let's just take a look at these three things. Strongholds, firstly. Strongholds are the lies we believe that we think on that constantly sabotage us. The enemy would like to use this to leverage it in our life. Satan is the father of all lies, right? And so if he can get you to believe a lie, something that is so contradictory to what Jesus' plan is for your life, then he can have a hold on your life to where you can't move forward. So how do you get free of a stronghold? Stop believing a lie and believe the truth. Amen? Next, arguments with God. The atheists that I've come into contact with are usually people who have a long-standing argument with God. Angry with God over how he didn't come through. Angry with God over how life just didn't work out the way that they had hoped. All atheists, most of the atheists that I've come in contact with, it began with an argument with God. But here's the deal. Christians, we can acknowledge God, but you ever had a long-standing argument with God? Why did this person have to die? Why did all of this junk happen in my life? God, where were you? See, those arguments with God can quickly disconnect you. Quickly disconnect you from the truth of Jesus. And here's the third thing. High things. High things are just simply things that we place a greater value on over God. That we elevate that whatever it is, that high thing, be it money, be it sports, be it, you know, you just name it. Whatever it is that we place a greater value on and having and possessing than God. Old Testament calls that idolatry. Make sense? Strongholds, arguments with God, high things. These are all things that interrupt, that stop up the flow of experiencing and stepping into God's goodness. See, these things, they create in us anxiety. These things in us create confusion about God's purpose and will and intent in our life. These things keep our future cloudy and filled with fear. Amen? And so these things will live on in our thought life. They will resist the intimate knowledge of God. Meaning, if I could lay hold of some intimate knowledge of God, some of these things would probably lose their power. Here's the deal. My thoughts can disconnect me from what Jesus purchased and what he freely offers. And it can disconnect me from believing he can move about freely and powerfully in my life. My thought life can do that to me. However, here's the good news. The opposite is also true. My thought life can connect me and establish me in what Christ has purchased, what he freely offers, and his ability to move in my life. Your thought life can connect you. Did you know that your mind has the potential to be the most supernaturally powerful instrument in your life? It has that kind of potential. It's just, where are our thoughts at? I want to dig into this passage right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is one of my favorite chapters in talking about this particular subject. We're going to start off with verse 9. Because it's really going to help us understand how to really look at Romans 12, 2, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. There's a lot of things to underline in this passage, but let me just begin right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you understand that at times it's really impossible to imagine how good God desires to be to you? How many of you also understand that what you know in your mind can be totally different than what's written in your heart? Western Christians, we know a lot of stuff, but the stuff that's written here can be totally different. I can know in my mind God is faithful, but the confession of my heart may be filled with doubt. By the same token, having a truth established in your mind from the Spirit of God can start to rewrite what's written in your heart. Did you know that? When your thought life is consumed with the goodness of God, when your thought life is consumed with the Word of God, it can actually rewrite what's written in your heart. Yes. Amen. Let's keep going. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I like the way that this verse starts out, but God, because but God is a game-changing statement. Meaning God has a plan to reveal the depths of himself to us through the Holy Spirit. It was previously hidden, but now God is wanting to show us through his Spirit just how awesome he wants to be in our life. Are you tracking with me? Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, not someday, not in the future, not in the sweet by and by, but now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. When you came to faith in Christ, you were indwelt with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit that was given to us so that we might know and experience and step into the depths of God. being ignorant of God, feeling like you just don't know, guys, that's not your destiny. God has invited you in closer to know him deeply. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is a very complicated phrase there at the end. But that word comparing is this word synchronos. Synchronos is where we get our word synchronize. And so what the picture that we see here is that God's Spirit and the Spirit of God in us is trying to synchronize, trying to harmonize our life together with what God is saying. And so God's ultimate plan is not for him to always be a mystery to you, but that he would actually have the opportunity by his Spirit to synchronize your life with his life and that you might know him intimately. Holy Spirit is the person that makes knowing God possible. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You know what I find a lot today in the Western Christian church? Is that many believers forget that the Spirit of God actually lives in them. And they act a lot more like natural man than spiritual man. Act like totally disconnected from the goodness of God. Guys, I'm telling you, there needs to be an awakening in our life to the Spirit of God. How he is always with us, day in, day out. He never leaves us. Folks, if you're a believer today, you are called to be a spiritual man. You are called to be a spiritual woman. Now this gets fun, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Now let's stop right there. We like to chalk up a lot of things we don't understand. Well, who knows what God was thinking? God's in control. Who knows? We just chalk it up to the sovereignty of God. Now here, granted, I fully believe in the sovereignty of God. There are multiple things that are completely in his hand that I don't understand. But Paul adds this phrase at the very end of this verse. And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Can we just say that together? It's on the board right there. But starting with, but we have the mind of Christ. Ready? Here we go. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It's been given. It's not something that you had to earn. It's been given. But we may not know how to tap into it. So what was Christ's mindset? What did we see him say all the time? I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. He knew him. Christ knew the Father. What if we began to live life like we actually know God? And have a relationship with him. You see, there's a promise all along with this that we see. Paul was talking about the role of the Holy Spirit all through this first part. He says, through the Holy Spirit, we are invited into the intimate knowing of Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. He's going to synchronize. He wants to harmonize through the Holy Spirit our mind with his. That we don't have to be ignorant of God's will. That we don't always have to make the same mistake. That we don't always have to have, whenever those buttons get pushed in our life, we don't always have to have the same response. That my thinking can totally change. Question. How many of you husbands know what your wife is going to say before you ask? How many of you husbands know what your wife is going to say because you didn't ask? How did you acquire such knowledge? Experience. Right? That kind of knowledge didn't come from reading the wife manual. By the way, they don't exist. I've checked. In the same way, we are invited into knowing the mind of Christ through walking with Jesus daily, through experiencing Him in our everyday life. That God's will is not intent for your life, is not meant to always be in the clouds, not always meant to be mysterious, but you can actually know God's will for your life. Now back to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transform by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is that Greek word metamorpho. It describes the process that, you know, a caterpillar goes through in order to become a butterfly. That word metamorpho is also used to describe the transfiguration of Jesus. Whenever he went up onto the mountainside and he took his three disciples with him, that it says that he was transformed, he was transfigured right before their very eyes. See, your life can go through a complete transformation through the renewal of your mind. Your life can be completely transfigured for the purpose of God through the renewal of your mind. So what's renewal? Because that would be really important to know at this point in time. If I want things to change in my life, what is this renewal? Well, renewal is not gaining new information. It's not necessarily increasing your intellect. How many of you know a lot of stuff that's not really beneficial to your life? You know what I mean? Renewal in the biblical sense meant to have an encounter with God all the way to the place where the way you see your life gets totally turned upside down, all the way to the place where you see it completely different. When Saul was on the road to Damascus to kill Christians, he has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me?" And then he subsequently gets knocked off his donkey, right? And so he had an encounter with God, with Jesus, on the road to Damascus. And by the time his blindness leaves, he gets up a totally different person. That's renewal. He saw Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus. Blindness comes off of his life, where he was once a murderer of Christians. Suddenly becomes the most dominant figure in the Christian world. outside of Christ himself. That's renewal. Have you ever met someone, had that key relationship, that when you met with them, spent time with them, visited with them, got to know them, prayed with them, that all of a sudden your life was just began to be different and the way you saw your world was different? How many of you have ever had someone like that in your life? Absolutely. You see, when we have encounters with Jesus, when we spend time connecting with Jesus, you will be able to know and determine that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. When you set your life up to have encounters with him, you will know God's will. And see, here's what happens. Confusion, anxiety, and fear get driven out of your life. Are you tracking with me? So in 2018, do this right here. Set your life up for an encounter. Set your life up for an encounter. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes people don't like it whenever I put so much emphasis on an encounter and experiences with God. But let me just throw this back out to you. Was your wedding day an encounter that changed your life forever? Was divorce court an experience that shaped and changed your life forever? Our lives are filled with experiences and encounters that shape our life. How much more would an encounter with Jesus and an experience with Jesus transform your life and shape your life? Whenever you encounter Jesus, your mind gets blown. It gets turned upside down. That in your thinking, down is no longer down. Down is up. And up is down. An encounter with Jesus has that kind of potential. And here's the thing. Because I can see the doubt. Yeah, but not me. That's just that super spiritual whatever you have up mumbo jumbo. Brother, you need your life turned upside down. You need an encounter with Jesus. Because the availability of his kingdom, whenever Jesus said his kingdom is at hand, you know what? It still is. It has not changed. His availability, his goodness, his grace, his spirit is at hand. What does that mean? It's touchable, seeable, tangible, that you can know. So if you're going to set your life up for an encounter, let me just give you some tips on that. Get into his word like you never have. Worship, find a CD, download something off of iTunes, do something. Get some worship music and worship like you never have before. Pray like your life depended on it, because it does. Ask for prayer. Ask for people to pray for you. Commit to church. Commit to a life group. Get involved. Hook in, because life is too short to live life without an encounter with Jesus. Here's the deal. The Lord promises this. When those who seek me with all their heart, they will be found by me. Yeah. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Well, I sought God and it just didn't work for me. Well, how long did you pray? Well, I got up early this morning and I prayed about 10 minutes. And I'm not negating your whatever time it is that you spend. But there is a difference between just logging in and doing your spiritual duty and seeking God. Because somewhere in there, our spiritual hunger for His activity in our life, for His will in our life, we have to be willing to do things that we haven't done before. We have to be willing to wake up earlier, if that means wake up earlier. That we have to be willing to stay up later. Because I know that when I live my life in such a way, I'm setting my life up for an encounter. And whenever I have that encounter with Jesus, whenever I hear His word, whenever I hear His voice, it has the power and the potential to transform my life. One moment with Jesus can change everything. So we must change the way that we think, because His kingdom is here, present and available. Amen? Let's all just stand. You know, sometimes when we come to the end of the service, we're like, now the preacher can really hurry up and we can get over and I can go get lunch. But can we just spend some time here and just try to lay hold of some things in God right now? Because we just got through saying His kingdom is present and available. If our altar team will go ahead and come on up. I got a few things that I think the Lord wants to do business with. You could be here this morning and you might not know God's will for your life. And you want to know what God's will is for your life. You want to know what plans that He has for you. But let me just begin by saying that if you want to know His will, you need to know Him. And so if you've never had a relationship with Jesus before, and you feel like your life's kind of filled with some doubt and confusion, you really need to know Jesus, because that's where it begins. That Jesus wants to take you on an amazing journey with Him. Life doesn't get boring with Jesus. So if you need to know Jesus this morning, I would encourage you to come this morning and let somebody up here introduce you to Him. Because Jesus will transform your life. Secondly, I really feel several different things here. But I really feel like that today that the Lord wants to set us free from confusion, from doubt, and anxiety. In a lot of places, the spirit, all of those things are just come from the spirit of fear. And we've allowed the spirit of fear to influence our thinking more so than hope and faith. We've kind of forecasted our future with worst possible scenarios as to opposed to what God plus me really looks like. To really begin to imagine God breaking through. I really believe this morning that there are individuals who have been in prolonged battles. Long battles. All the way to the place of like losing hope and faith. this morning, I feel like God wants to end some of those battles for you. I want to lay hands on some of you and pray with you for those of you who are in those prolonged battles, because we want to see the anointing break through. See, the scripture says that the anointing breaks the yoke. And sometimes we've been yoked to long-term battles that God wants to release us from. And he releases us from that through the anointing, because the anointing breaks the yoke. How does the anointing come? People praying with you. So I want to just invite you to come now. If this is you, if you've been in a place of confusion and doubt and anxiety and fear, come now. Listen, I really believe the Lord wants to minister to you. Come now. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be afraid. You see, whenever we come forward, what we're doing is we're breaking that spirit of fear just by making a choice. And folks, that needs to be celebrated. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we just ask God right now, just to come into this room and move like you do, Lord. In those places, Father, where there's been confusion, anxiety, and fear, God, let it be broken right now. Lord Jesus, we just break the spirit of fear in this place, Lord, right now. We break that, Lord, by faith, Lord. God, we're going to lay hold of your kingdom, God. Father, that you are calling, Father, your people to become warriors for you again, Lord. Lord, where confusion and doubt and fear has settled in, and Lord, where the will of God for life has been just really unclear, God, right now, Lord Jesus, we just ask, God, that the spirit of fear be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be broken right now in the name of Jesus, where there's been confusion, where there's been mental disorder, where there's been anxiety and sleepless nights, Lord. God, we ask, Father, right now just for a breaking of those things, God. Father, that we would be established in the truth and the goodness and the availability of your kingdom today, God. Thank you, Father. We need to believe for prolonged battles to end. Let's just join with these folks here that are praying. Let's just believe for them right now. Just lift up your voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Last thing. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember how she pressed through the crowds? This unclean woman who was not even allowed to come near a rabbi, near people at all. And yet for 12 years she was in bondage. In bondage to her issue of blood. And she knew that Jesus was passing by, and so she managed to work her way through the crowds and stoop down and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And then Jesus, in the middle of all this crowd, goes, "Whoa, who touched me? I just felt power go out of me." And he turned and he looked around, and as he saw that woman, as she confessed and she anteed up to what happened, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Sometimes we got to press through the crowds, do things that are out of the ordinary to lay hold of what Jesus has for us. Amen. Don't be bound by fear. Amen.